engineering questions because it was hard, and you had to have a good strategy. So you kind of pick and choose your problems carefully.
Was
I think.
Work?
Yeah, I was a PE for many years, and then when I moved, changed states, I didn't renew it. So, but I was a PE in Texas for many years, and then Mississippi also.
The tests are pretty much the same no matter what state you're in, right?
Well, what I liked about Texas was I didn't have to take the second exam. I could actually just use industry experience and letters of recommendation. Put the computer screens down, please. We're going to begin class. Computer screens. Okay, then out of the room, please. We have a class scheduled in here at 12:30. This is Senior Design 1. It's scheduled in this room. You can go work at... No, I'm not going to let you say. You can go and work in another one of the classes. Okay, how's it going? What? Not good, right? I mean, I beat you guys up on the last assignment. Someone be brave enough to say, you know, not good. So what do we need to do? What are the problems?
I think when we came here, we weren't really prepared by seminar to hit the ground running, and that's what we did. So
where do you, it's interesting. I'm getting now, I love the kind of good cop, bad cop thing. So the seminar students sort of blame it on kind of you guys and, you know, you guys kind of, there's discussion about seminars. So I'm going through watching teams form in the seminar class now. And it's hilarious because you remember what this was like, right? How many of you ended up on the first team that you were a member of?
Well, this is a small class compared to theirs, so.
But even so, I'm just, yeah, that's a good point, but I'm just curious.
Well, we were on the team, and then Jesse Harper was supposed to be, but then he switched.
So there's a lot, so they're about, they're at a point now in seminar where they've turned in their teams, but they haven't selected the projects yet. Now, what's wrong with that? You know, obviously, until you really know what you're going to do with the project, you don't really know what the right team is, and you don't know that everyone's going to be interested in that. So we're trying to get the seminar students onto teams and projects earlier in the process, but I got to tell you, it's still a little bit rough. And of course, they say, well, we talked to the Senior Design 1 people, and our Senior Design 2 people, and they said, oh, don't worry about it, you know, this and that. So we're kind of going back and forth on that. But I think one of the things you're probably realizing is this semester is going by pretty quickly. And, you know, there's a lot of work that to get you to the point where you can present these projects in public, so to speak. So what's coming up the week after spring break?
Presentations.
How many of you think you're ready for that? Well, that's good. That's being honest. What? What am I expect? You know what I'm expecting.
I have no idea.
I have no idea what you're expecting at all.
I'm expecting you to get up there and tell me everything anyone could possibly know about this project.
I don't know.
We're going to end up getting really bad grades anyway.
Yeah, I don't really know anything about the project except the assignments that we're doing.
You don't know anything about the project?
We
we haven't had time to research anything. Like, we just get the assignments, and then, like, I don't have time to do anything else.
Word.
It feels like we're working backwards. Like if we built the filter, then we can write tons of stuff about it.
But that's not the way engineering design works.
But we also don't know what the experiences are.
So like a prototype.
Right. So one of the goals of Senior Design 1 is to make sure that when you build this in Senior Design, when you actually build this thing in Senior Design 2, you're successful at it. Now, the best way to ensure that is to actually start building stuff in Senior Design 1. And if you know, and I've talked about this a little bit, we'll get into this more in the second half of the course, but generally speaking, when you're dealing with projects like this, you're going to want to do some amount of prototyping. Should we let her in?
No.
What do you think? No?
Sure.
You were lucky.
Thank you.
I had to
very
sway the
lucky
vote. You'll want to do some amount of prototyping to make sure that things are going to go the way you plan them to be. So I think in this course, this semester, you need to think about what's going to happen over the summer, because the summer is a really good time to prepare for the second semester. But I think what also many of you are struggling with is the process of how you actually research something without having built it before. But the assignments that you're given are part of the research that you should be doing for the project.
Well, it's all like background stuff, though. Like, I'm researching what has been done, and like, I don't know how I'm going to do anything. Like, do we have any idea how?
I think that
honestly, if you told me to make a prototype in the next month, I wouldn't be able to do it. Not even close. Because I have no idea how to build it. I think the main problem is what you were saying about having a problem or a project in the seminar. Because, like, we came into the semester and we're basically learning as we're going. I knew nothing about solar power coming into the semester. And we picked our project the first week of class. So, like, doing all the constraints and stuff, I had no idea what I was doing because I didn't know anything about solar power. So that's why I didn't know what kind of constraints you wanted. The problem statement and the other stuff is just research. I mean, we can do that and pretty much just go off.
But the what you want
for the assignments, but not really anything learning from just doing the assignments, you know? I mean, I understand what you want with the research and stuff, and I want to do that because I need to figure out how to make the project, but, like, I don't have time to do that and do the assignments at the same time.
Well, the assignments are leading you through the steps of the project, typically in the order that you would deal with them in an engineering project. Now, I think the one of the core issues is whether the teams have technical expertise in the area that they're working. And that's, of course, that's a big issue, and that's why the problem selection or the project selection becomes so important.
Well, and then that's the big problem is there were no projects I wanted, like, that were in my field of expertise. That was the biggest problem. Like, I had no, like, I plan on being a structural engineer or some sort of civil engineer, and that has nothing to do with designing solar concentrators, so that's not my specialty. And, like, I have no background knowledge on solar power or anything, so, like, that's where I'm having the biggest issue. And I don't know if that's a consensus, but that's how I feel.
Well,
I know that's not most of my team feels like.
Well, there's not much I can do about that, unfortunately, because the project, it's a bit, you know, we're sort of too far into the process to fix some of that. We are trying to fix that, like I said, in the seminar course. And certainly one of the important things you can do is feedback to your colleagues who are in the seminar course this semester, all these kinds of issues, because I don't think they're getting it yet, even though we try to talk about these things. So I had a student today, for example, nice student, but he was saying, you know, I don't see why I need to have a multidisciplinary team. And I was trying to explain to him that with almost any project you touch, there's going to be all these issues outside of your discipline. And he wasn't getting it. And I said, well, go talk to some of the Senior Design 1 students who are facing these issues now, and hopefully you'll understand that a little bit better. In terms of technical expertise for your projects, I think one of the resources you have to lean on for that are your advisors. I know not all the teams are meeting weekly with their advisors. That's a problem, because your advisor should be helping you with technical details. Now, if you just go to your advisor and say, no, I don't know anything about this, you're not going to get much from them. But if you go with specific questions, they will be surprisingly responsive. But when the day is done, if it's a project that's really outside of your area of expertise, that's a problem. You're going to have to spend some time catching up in that area of expertise, and maybe over spring break, you can use that to catch your breath and get caught up on things. But also remember that, you know, these are four-person teams, so in terms of the amount of effort available in your pool of labor, it's a pretty significant number of hours. So one of the tricks is to learn how to get everybody working in parallel so that you're all not working on the same thing, and you can hopefully then get a lot more accomplished. All right, so that didn't go over well. So what other issues?
I have a question. How is it that our first problem statement, we got a 75, and then for our revised problem statement, which you, and I quote, you said was greatly improved. Greatly improved. That means like at least like 5 points more. How do we still get a 75?
Because the bar is raised for the second problem statement. Because you have to understand the problem that you're working on to make progress on this design project. The first set of grades was somewhat taking into account you're still fairly new to the projects. The second set of grades is the last time I'll grade the problem statement until the end of the semester. So I think. One of the weaknesses across a number of the problem statements was a lack of really technical depth, sort of like what we're discussing on the projects. But remember that the goal, from my point of view as instructor, is for you to survive those final presentations, which will be rigorous design reviews. And that's the most important thing. Because at that point, the review committee is going to decide whether the project's going to be allowed to proceed into Senior Design 2 or not. And I don't think, we want every project to be successful, but if the project's not sufficiently well ready, you will not be allowed to proceed into Design 2. Now, I don't think I'm hopeful that won't happen to anybody, but we have to work to get you to that point. So as we progress through the semester, the level of technical detail on these projects has to increase. All right, so that wasn't taken too well either. One of the things, I want an honest show of hands, and you know, I'm not grading you on this. I just would like to know for my own information. How many of you are meeting weekly with your advisors? Yeah, that's about what I thought. How many of you are finding your meetings with your advisors productive? So what do we need to do differently then? Your advisors have to be providing you, you know, the dynamic is that your advisors are personally interested in these projects. So they have to be providing you with technical guidance on the projects. That doesn't mean they do things for you, but that means that they're, you know, they're there as a resource. So what can I do to help facilitate that?
Provide them with more information.
About?
Our project.
Provide them with more information?
That's how it is for our group, because they don't know what we're doing.
How did you select your advisor?
We didn't even know what we were doing until like a week ago. I mean, we knew, but not in any detail. And then now we just set up brand new requirements. Problem for this week.
Huh?
We have scheduled to help out people, so.
I think the thing with us is because we wait until like we can do our work. And then you want the work submitted by Tuesday. We only have Monday to see him, you know, because we're not going to go to him with an unfinished product of whatever it is that you want us to do. So I think that is also an issue.
Yeah, but I had to originally had the assignments due Friday,
yeah.
And then
well,
you said move them back to Monday.
Well, I'm just saying.
So I mean, that's like a never-ending.
No,
I understand. I understand
what our problem is.
I feel like. Doing all these assignments and everything is not going to change, particularly in our project, is not going to change anything we do once we get started. So we have to build some kind of sand pre-filter. And I mean, the only way to do it is, you know, get a thing, put some sand in it, and start testing it. And say, well, we're not getting enough efficiency, we need to add more sand. You know, and we need to up the sand, so.
But that's not design.
I know, but the thing is that...
Now, I think there is design content in your project. I just think the tendency with a lot of projects is to view them as a iterative build process. And that's not... that. And the problem that you get into with that is that that will not be accepted as design content.
Right, but I feel like even if we had a perfect design document, the process of actually building it and perfecting it and getting the 99% efficiency and testing it is going to be the same whether or not we have the design document or don't have the design.
What type of sand are you going to choose for your filter?
The best kind.
You see,
but
that's not design. I'm sorry, but that's not design.
So, but we won't know until we do research on that. And if we're
so you should be doing research as part of these assignments. You shouldn't just be sitting down and writing a problem statement. You should actually be doing research on the problem to understand what your problem statement is.
But we're so busy doing the assignment.
The assignment, come on. The problem statement's 2 pages.
That's a lot of pages.
2 pages for 4 students.
Yeah. 2 students. But yeah, no, I understand, but I feel that once, I mean, it's sort of like we'll cross that bridge, you know, when we get to it. So when we're at the point where we need to choose a sand, then we'll be like, let's choose a sand. But aside from choosing the sand, there's very little else that we could.
So how are you going to choose the sand?
Well, we're going to do research and, you know, find, well, we might use coal silver. But, so I mean, we will do research and say, all right, if there's work.
So what's
there,
preventing you from doing that research now?
The assignments.
Oh, come on.
Well, I mean, that so far there hasn't been something that says, I guess an approach is when it would come. You know, what's our approach? We're going to use this type of sand.
Thank you.
But we're not at a... We're not at a...
So the time has come to put together your 7 slides on approach.
So now we're going to get to do...
Now you're going to get to do approach.
So I think approach should come first.
No.
Well, no, I mean, but approach is...
That's not design.
It's not design, but it's...
And this is senior design. This is not senior DeVry tech, or this is not senior implementation. This is senior design.
Well, design should come after an understanding of it, right? So when you understand.
So perhaps in.
Okay. So I accept the fact that a number of these projects, students have a lack of understanding of the project that they're working on.
Yeah, by you playing with what's already been out there, you understand it a little bit more, and you can see if this is a way of you improving it, hence the designing. Or
we're missing the research stage of the project. It seemed like we skipped.
Yeah.
I would say that we're going through that as we go through these assignments.
Not necessarily, because it seems...
There's nothing that precluded you from doing research on this project from the beginning of the semester. It's understood. It should... I'm going to have to disagree with you on that. In a week where you had a 2-page problem statement due with a 4-member team, I don't think that precludes getting research done. And in fact, I think research has to be done to do that problem statement.
Which it is, but it's specific towards the project that you're doing, not so much the general knowledge of the field.
But
like wind energy is so broad, and depending on what type of system you're using and what type of control system and stuff you're using, it's going to determine how specific you are to what we're doing. Like, wind energy is very opinionated. If you ever know anything about wind energy. Like, you got documents that state it's beneficial over here, and you got other people that's not supporting it.
But I think the problem statement, only about 1/4 of it was supposed to be the general stuff.
But that leads to I think you have to have a broad area, and then you specify.
Well, we talked about that. That's why the first quarter of the problem statement is broad. And then we talked about how that you narrow that down. Get it?
Going off of what she said, and I talked to Dr. Shaw about this before, I understand we do have to do all this stuff. I agree with you 100% on that. All this stuff is necessary. I think the problem is that it's only a 1-credit course. I think if it was a 3-credit course, or even two, I might be able to devote more time to it. But since I don't know about everybody else, but I'm taking 18 credits, and it's only 1-credit class. So looking at my hierarchy of my 18 credits, I mean, I want it to be higher, but it's only 1 credit, so it's really not going to affect, my...
Okay, well, I don't want to get into that issue here, because I face that as a department chair all the time.
I think that might be what the issue is that everybody's having.
And in my department, or certainly when I advise students, I discourage them from taking 18 hours in the semester when they're taking senior design. I've refused to sign registrations and programs of study that do that.
Well, even so, if I was taking 7,
but I'm just
16. You know what I mean? It's still only 1 credit out of that many. Like that little portion will not like the grades aren't important. It's what you're doing. I understand that. But like, if people are worried about their grades and stuff, well, it's only a 1-credit class, so you're worried about other classes that are like higher credits. You know what I mean? I think that might be like the heart of everybody's argument here.
Well, I don't want to get too much into the time management issue in this class, because that's a broader issue. I can tell you that the way we're teaching the course this semester is common to the way a lot of engineering programs teach this kind of a course. And the amount of credit varies, and because it's only 1 credit here, there's some things we can't do this semester that I think are a little bit difficult. Normally, when I've taught this course before, we do design and simulation in the first semester, so that you actually have a prototype, and actually prototyping. So at the final presentations, you'll actually show a prototype of what you've done. We're not asking you to do that this semester because there's just not enough time.
Yeah, I think that would actually be really, I think that would be a good idea. Like you said, we don't have
to. Well, I don't want, there's a, yeah, I don't want to get into that too much.
Well, I mean, for the future classes, I think it would help at the beginning, there was sort of, without getting started in the problem statement, I think, just write, you know, an assignment that was like, write everything you know, or, you know, about your project. So, I mean,
so I tried to do that. Okay, that's a good point. And I tried to do that before the class even began. Remember, I was emailing and talking to students about sending abstracts and trying to iterate with you on the abstracts of the projects for that very reason. And I got very few abstracts back.
Because, I mean, we had to pick the project.
Well, I know. And that was all. That was all. And so, you know, I understand. All I can say is, as bleak as it may seem, it'll get better. Trust me. Just, you know, be patient and do your work. But also, feed all this information back to the seminar students because, you know, they're on the same trajectory you guys were when you took the seminar.
The seminar wasn't seminar. Seminar was basically PowerPoint presentations and writing about something that wasn't even leading to this.
But even so, even with a very focused seminar class, they're still not getting it yet.
Well, I'm taking seminar now also. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if this is the first semester Shaw's taught seminar, but it seems like he's got everybody grouped up, and
right.
By the time they enter senior one, they would have already had a group.
But many of you were grouped, actually. I was watching last semester. Many of you were grouped, and then the projects somehow kind of fell apart sometime in the last week or two of the semester through the break. Because I was getting lists of the project teams and all that, and I was monitoring all that. See, because I watch out for you.
I think pretty much what you just said about everyone kind of not knowing what the project was and being confused and like the biggest problem having all the groups. I'm just guessing, but do we receive points off for our documents that are late that we haven't submitted yet that we're like due to that schedule?
I've been talking with individual teams about that. I've tried to be flexible. You do have to understand that I don't have a lot of time, flexibility in my time. So when I sit down like on Sunday and do nothing but grade senior design projects and then they're missing, it's hard for me if I get that 2 days later. I don't have a lot of time during the week to deal with that. So, but I've been trying to be flexible. And the point of all this is not to beat you up every week. It's to kind of help you, give you realistic feedback about where you're at relative to this final goal. If you do really well in the final presentation, if the review committee looks at that presentation and says this project's outstanding, your grades will take care of itself. It always works out that way. That doesn't mean you can blow off all the interim assignments, but you've got to do these assignments conscientiously to get to that point.
Well, I know, like, with our group, we didn't know, like, exactly what content to put in the assignments, and also, like, we were doing research, but it was just totally off point. And,
right.
And, like, last week was really the first time we got to meet with, like, an advisor and get...
Right. Okay, so...
clear, concise...
Right. So, to the... Even... Don't look at the... In past years, actually, I used to not even give numeric grades, because I've always found students get hung up on the numeric grades. The more important thing is the feedback. The specific tech, you know, the content of the feedback in that, and addressing those issues. And I think everyone in here realizes that there are issues in your projects that need to be addressed. So what we need to focus on here is how to help you with that. Now, in the past, when I first taught the course, we didn't do weekly assignments. The way I teach the course now actually evolved over a period of about 5 years. Because with the first semester, I generally advocate for students, so I said, okay, treat them as adults. We'll have a midterm review and a final review, and that's it. How many of you think you'd actually pass that if we did that? No way. And it was a disaster. So the first midterm review was a slaughter, you know, every group after group, you know, and then they'd get to work. So now over the last half of the semester, they're trying to catch up and all that stuff. So I'm trying to sort of help you step by step by laying out exactly what you need to accomplish, that it'll all add up. But at the end of this semester, you'll have all the pieces of your design document written. And that will serve you very well when you go into senior design two. And you'll see that, I think you'll really see that, because if you look at the senior design two projects and you talk to people about what the state of their project was when they entered senior design two, you'll see by the end of this semester, I guarantee you, you'll be much further ahead. Because I know from personal experience that some of the teams I've talked to, that even entering senior design two, they didn't have a good idea of what they were doing. So, and I'm always available, in addition to your advisors, if you need help, to the extent I can provide you technical guidance, I'm more than happy to sit down with the teams and help you through some of the technical issues, or at least point you to the resources who can help you with that. So the week after spring break, we're going to have your what's called preliminary design review. Now, I understand at this point you're struggling with all the things we've talked about, but that's okay. I think the point is to do the best job you can on that presentation and then look at the feedback as some indications of areas where you need to improve. So in that presentation, these are the main things we're going to go through. The motivation, the problem statement, the design constraints, the approach, and then what your challenges and risks are. By the end of the semester, we'll add some other things to this, things like test specifications and such. But for the week after spring break, which I think is something like the eighth week of the semester, so we're pretty far into the semester, this is about where you should be on these projects. So what I've put online is a template for the presentation. And this is another thing I worry a little bit about. I see people kind of deviating from the template, and I think that's costing you a lot of effort. And in some cases, I allow it, like cover pages, but in some cases, I really need you to stick to the template. So don't feel a need to reinvent templates if you can work with what's there already. So I do want this information on the cover page. And the information that's here is all here for a reason, just like the information I asked for on the cover sheets. Well, we're
like exact copy of it, but like kind of different. Is that not okay?
Well, I don't care how you do it, but I can tell you that a lot of the people who didn't use the template messed up on things like paragraph styles. And I think people's difficulties with the template probably stems to your lack of experience with Word, which I understand, which we're trying to address more in seminar and in technical writing this year, but I'm also willing to sit down with the teams and actually show you some of the details. There's actually a lot going on in a good Word document, which I think these are. There's a lot going on that you probably aren't familiar with, things like running headers, things like cross-references, things like frames and such, tables and all that, layout, cross-references and things. The references situation actually got easier because we're doing APA, so you don't actually have to cross-link the references. That was one change we made sort of in the early part of the semester to try to find a uniform standard across all the departments. But in general, when you write documents, you should cross-reference things. And this is something I'm trying to teach because it's really important when you go into group document writing. There's a tendency when you say, see section 2, to just write see section 2, right? But the problem is when you cut and paste that document into another document, section 2 now is section 4, but it doesn't update in your text. And so developing good technical documents, it's actually a lot like programming. You have to program a lot of stuff into the document so that it can be moved around into different documents and things. And you'll see a lot of that, you know, when you get out into industry. You'll constantly be cutting and pasting documents and things. So if you have questions, and I think we're also going to get some of that PowerPoint. And I'm not asking for a lot of expertise in these tools, but there are some basic things that you do have to learn, and things like cross-references and such I think are important to learn. So in terms of cover page, you for the presentation, you can play with the you can play with the layout somewhat, but make sure this information is on the cover page. And remember also, as we go through this presentation, this is something that I learned actually just 3 years ago. It was really impressed upon me. More people will read your PowerPoint slides from the web than will actually see you give that presentation. Now, when you make PowerPoint slides, there's a tendency to be brief. But what happens when your manager is reading those slides on the airplane to a business trip and you aren't there to explain things? And what happens when they read some piece of text and make the wrong interpretation of it? That could kill your program. I have seen people lose tens of millions of dollars because of a bullet on a PowerPoint slide was misinterpreted. So there are some things we do in the presentation to accommodate the fact that some people will read this presentation without ever hearing you present the material. And you always have to worry about that, because even your advisors, they may miss one of your presentations and they will go back and look at your slides. And you won't be there to explain things. So a good example of that is the abstract. The second slide is your abstract, but you've got access to this template. It's linked now, and I hope you'll take it and actually just start editing it. But you'll put this in the presentation, but you won't actually go. You're not going to read it during the presentation. It's just there again for people who are going to look at the presentation offline or after your actual presentation. The next thing will be a team overview. I'd like to see your team members, and I'd also like to see team responsibilities. Sometimes people do this with pictures and like a chart. You have like a table and you have a matrix of people and responsibilities. Also show your list your advisors and their areas of expertise, sort of how, you know, what relevance they have to the project. And this is important because this is telling us what your individual contributions are going to be to this project.
Is this PowerPoint on your website?
Yes. It's linked to, it's in the templates directory. Because that's one of the hard questions that's going to get asked at the end of the semester, is what was your individual contribution to the project? And when people in a four-person team, when they get different grades, there's always a bit of frustration over that, but we are going to collect information. I'm going to collect information from you. Each of you, each member of the team is going to rate everybody else on the team and explain to me what their contributions were. Your advisor is going to explain to me what your contributions were. And then I will also look, you know, I try to keep track of things as well. The next two slides deal with motivation for the project. And these will be drawn from your problem statement. The first slide will be sort of the general, you know, what are you trying to do? What's the sort of the first page of your problem statement? Content from there will go on this first slide. The second slide will be more technically focused, and it should bring out the major points in your problem statement, the real technical aspects of your problem statement. I think we've talked about this, but that's one of the things people are struggling with, going from what we might call the 10,000-foot view to the specific technical problems that you're dealing with, like your project with the percolator. You've got issues about sand. You've got issues about plastic. You've got, you know, those kinds of issues that are going to influence the design of this thing. And you've got real questions like, can sand actually do the kind of filtering that you're asking it to do? That's, I think, one of the technical things in this project. So the next slide will be an overview of your project. Now, when engineers, I think I might have talked about this early in the semester, but what is engineering all about? If you had to describe to somebody what the essence of engineering was, how engineers actually solve problems, what is your primary tool as an engineer? And this is actually your most valuable skill as an engineer. You won't appreciate this now, but 20 years from now, you will appreciate this.
Creativity?
No, I'd like to think so, but I don't know that engineers are really known for their creativity. Logic. That's a very important value added, though. I will give you that.
Existing knowledge?
No, because the knowledge is changing so quickly. By the you know the deal. But in 5 years, the whole world changes like completely.
Analyzing data.
Close. Well, these are all good. I got to give you that. Being logical, that's getting close.
Your ability to speak what you're trying to sell.
No, that's marketing, but that's an important skill. No, that's an important skill, and communication, all good stuff.
Logically solving problems.
Okay, how do we logically solve problems?
Analytical thinking.
Simplifying, very close.
Providing
assumptions about.
Good, but not quite.
Providing products for the public needs.
Problem statements.
All right, you get 3 gold stars. For
is that 5 extra points?
Yeah, that, right. I'll give you 5 extra points.
Oh, wait, no, 3 stars.
When, I know a number of you didn't attend our keynote speaker, but that was unfortunate, because he was talking about building bridges. And the same issues involved with building bridges, skyscrapers, buildings. When you want to build a building, how does an engineer go about solving that?
Structural analysis. Just wants to get it done. Analyzes what needs the problem and what he only cares about the logistics, not the aesthetics.
So you, as CEO of the company that's going to build this building, how are you going to solve the problem of building this building? You're going to be down there with bricks and mortar, you know, as CEO? No. What are you going to do?
Hire
a CM. What's he going to do or she going
to
do?
You put a notice to bid on your project.
All right, come on. You're not.
That's what you do.
All right, let's play Wheel of Fortune here. Except it on much black horse space. I'm looking for a word that begins with D.
No.
Cool. Okay, we got the first 2 letters, D-E, now. I'm looking for a word that, the next letter is a C. No, that has an S.
Decimal.
Decimal, no.
Decibel.
The next letter is an O. We got that one. So you got deco.
Deconstruct.
Close. We
decompose.
Decompose. What do engineers do?
Analyze.
They decompose. Please, we have a winner. Please. State that for the class.
Just break it down into smaller pieces.
That's analysis.
Okay.
Greek.
Okay.
To break down.
Wonderful. That's the essence of engineering. Any problem you deal with is overwhelming. And I can tell you that the difference between an engineer and perhaps a humanities major is when you're faced with a massive problem, the humanities major will stress out.
And talk about their feelings.
Yeah, they'll say, I'm stressed, and, you know, because they can't get their hands around that massive problem. But you as engineers are able to do what? You're able to decompose this big problem into lots of little problems. I know this may seem trivial, but I'm telling you, this is actually what I've really come to appreciate this in the last 5 or 10 years, that this is really what engineering, what you're engineering, this is why you're becoming engineers. Your minds work this way. This is what makes you an engineer, is your ability to decompose big problems into lots of little problems, because then you can solve these little problems in parallel and you can delegate those to other people. So a good example of this that I recently learned about is the federal government. How does the President of the United States, have you ever thought about the complexity of the President managing the budget for the federal government? This used to drive me crazy because I could not understand how the President managed the budget. I mean, what do you sit in meetings? He's up here and like 57 organizational levels down. Somebody's worried about how much money they're going to spend on gas for some truck that, you know, does some government function. How is the president able to manage the federal government budget, which is one of the most complex documents you will ever see in your life? Well, it turns out it's very easy. The federal budget is broken up into 11 categories. And all the president ever deals with is those 11 categories. One of them is defense, and the head of defense, Secretary of Defense comes to him and says, I need $200 billion more. And they argue about that, and that's all the president ever worries about. Maybe he'll sometimes reach a little bit below that, but generally speaking, they worry about 11 categories of the federal budget, and that's it. That's all they really see of the problem. And then they delegate the rest. And this is what engineers do. So, what is the language when you decompose a problem? How do you articulate that to your audience or to your management as an engineer?
Project overview?
No, next sentence down. Block diagram. So I would like on this slide, I know there was a long way to go for this little slide, but I would like to see a decomposition of your problem in some kind of block diagram or some type of graphical form that shows me the structure, the internal structure of your problem. Then you'll have two slides, one on your design constraints, your technical design constraints, and you'll explain these in terms of what you've written in your documents. And then we'll have your non-technical design constraints, the same kind of deal. You don't have to go through all of them in the actual talk, but you just have to focus on the ones that are really critical to your project. Then we get into your approach. Now, I know this is going to be a little bit rough for the midterm, but we just have to push. We just have to stretch ourselves to try to get there. So when I looked at the overall presentation, I think you should devote about 7 slides to various aspects of these approach. And generally what you'll do is you'll take about 5 of these for your technical design constraints and about 2 of these for your non-technical design constraints. Now, this is where you really convince us of the design content in your project. Now, at this stage, you don't need to know it's not as important that you know specifically what you're going to do, but you should be able to at least parameterize the problem. So, you know, any one of your projects, you can look at a specific task, like in some of the projects involve wind turbines. And we've been talking about, well, what are the different types of wind turbines? And the one you think you're going to select is going to be selected based on how it meets your design constraint or a set of design constraints. That's the kind of thing you're going to articulate in these slides. And yes, you know, you're going to have a pretty good understanding of the technical aspects of your problem to do this. So there'll be 7 of those slides. Then I would like one slide that discusses major technical challenges and risks. This is a concept that you haven't dealt a lot with yet in your education, but it's a concept that's very important in engineering, risk mitigation. So first of all, what are the types of challenges you're likely to face in your projects?
Budget.
If you're designing to budget, in what sense budget?
I don't know. We only get like $500.
So they're sort of your R&D budget, right?
Pick out, like, well, no, like, pick out economical parts that will, like, do the job but still be, like, yeah, be affordable.
Well, but that's going to be governed by the design constraint that deals with the cost of your system, not your budget to develop the system. Those are two separate budgets, right?
I have no idea.
It may if you're going to build a light bulb, let's say, the light bulb may sell for $1. And when I talk about the cost of a light bulb, we haven't talked a lot about cost yet, but let me just say a couple quick things about this. When you sell a light bulb for $1, what are all the components of that cost?
Materials,
okay, to make the light bulb.
Labor.
How much do you think the materials cost if that light bulb sells for $1?
15 cents.
It's about 20%. You know, we used to use a rule of four when I was in industry. It varies a little bit from industry to industry, but roughly about 15 to 25 cents. Well, what accounts for the other 75% profit?
Develop it.
What do we call those kinds of costs? We tend to call those non-recurring costs. Those are kind of the one-time costs that it takes to develop this thing. Marketing is actually a recurring cost, but so there's also things, the cost of that light bulb also includes things like the health insurance of your employees, the cost of building your factory to make this light bulb, all those kinds of things. So you have essentially two costs associated with your projects. You have the cost of the actual thing you're building. And that's something that I want to see you address in your projects, and we'll get to that a little later in the semester. But then you have the cost of developing, sort of the non-recurring costs. I don't think we need to worry about those as much. However, those could be a major technical challenge if, for example, you need some really expensive piece of equipment to do your project. Or you need some unique part that's on back order. We've had this happen where students find out the part they designed their project around goes on back order and they can't get it. That's technical risk. That's a risk or challenge. Now, when you're managing lots of engineering projects, and some of you within about 10 years of graduating from school will be managers who manage 5 or 6 engineering projects. And how do you deal with risk? Why must you deal with risk? No?
You've got to make sure, is it necessary to make those risks? Is it proper?
Why? Why do you worry about that?
But in the long run, if you run in a business, you might not make anything because the risk overpowers.
What if you're a manager of 5 projects and all 5 projects fail? What? You're likely, you know, going to have a hard time, right? So how do you avoid that? What?
Minimize risk.
I would say manage risk, right? I think I actually put a slide up early in the semester about this, but if you risk, there's projects which are high risk, high payoff, right? And there's projects which are low risk, low payoff. We often call the low-hanging fruit the problems that are low risk and high payoff. If you can find those, they're really great because you do a little bit of risk and you make a lot of money. What do you as a manager have to do? You have to balance your portfolio. Maybe 1 or 2 of your 5 projects will be high risk. Maybe 2 of them will be low risk. Maybe 1 will be moderate risk. So the same thing with senior design, and I know some of you are facing this because I know a typical example of risk is you cannot rely on each team member equally. And you have to worry about what if that team member doesn't produce something? Do I have a backup plan? Do I have something to do? Because you just can't let the project fail. So I'd like to see a slide that talks about your major technical challenges if you're project needs some material that's never been invented before, that's a problem. You're not going to invent a material in this, you know, in this course. If you need some piece of equipment or some access from the university that we haven't given you, that's a risk. If you need a microscope or you need some kind of laser, you know, there's all sorts of different things. The reason this is important is because I don't want you coming back in the middle of second semester and saying that I can't finish my project because I didn't get this thing that I needed. Actually, I didn't remember that those were there. And then your last slide will be a summary. What I'd like for you to do on your last slide is to summarize your plans for Senior Design 1, summarize your plans for Senior Design 2, so that at the end of this presentation, we have a good idea of what you're expecting to get done this semester, what you're expecting to be done next semester. And this slide, you'll actually, most of the slides in this presentation, you'll update and reuse in your final presentation. But this one in particular, will, at the end of the semester, will be important, because it will talk to you, it will talk to us about what you're thinking you're going to do in Senior Design 2. Then we have a slide on references. Do not, it's funny, every year I have the students put this in, they want to read their references during the talk. The sole purpose of this slide is for people who look at this presentation offline and want to know more information about your project. So you won't even talk about that slide during the presentation. So this is a presentation that you should be able to do in about 15 minutes, and that's going to be the goal, is that a 15-minute presentation plus 5 minutes of question and answer. And for this first presentation, what we're going to do is it's going to be given by one person in your team. And in fact, over the course of the two semesters, there's going to be four presentations. You'll have a midterm and a final each semester. Those presentations will be each be, at least the current, this is the current plan. I'm still debating this with some faculty, but I prefer a single person to do this presentation, because that means over the course of two semesters, everybody has to learn everything about the project, because you're going to have to present the entire project at some point. So this first midterm will be given by one of you. Now, strategize about this, because what is the most critical presentation in your two semesters?
Final.
The final, right? So you want to burn your really good public speaker on that one. What's the second most critical presentation? The end of the first semester. What's the third most critical? Now we get kind of an interesting trade-off. This one, very good. This one's probably the third most critical. Because why?
This sort of sets up the direction for the rest of your senior design, and it gives you the best critiques.
What about level of preparedness between this one and the one in the middle of next semester?
It should be about the same.
No, I disagree with that.
I mean, yeah.
You lost one of your gold stars. What's the problem with this presentation? You're not really prepared for this, right? So the speaker's got to be kind of able to, are kind of, there's various words we could use for that. And then the mid one in the second semester, you're pretty far into the project at that point. So I sent you email about presentation times. And we need to close the loop on that pretty quickly. Yeah, I want you to talk with your advisors and get them to agree they can be present at that time, and then you pick one of those times. From what I've looked at all your schedules, it should work out to where everyone should be able to find a time that works for their team and for their advisor. Okay. Any other? You know, that's a good point of discussion about minimizing risk, right? You could walk in and beach shirt and shorts and sandals, right? Okay, you could wow me. You're absolutely right. And we interviewed candidates for the VP of research position this past week. Pretty high level position at the university. And I was actually talking to people. It was interesting the different ways that they dressed. But we had one candidate who definitely dressed in a way that said, I don't care if you give me this job, you know, I'm going to come here and interview the way I feel like it. And you take it or leave it, right?
And he got the job.
Well, we're going to find out. So the thing about dressing is you want to dress in a way that makes it not an issue. Unless you're really, really confident, right?
Yeah.
Now, some companies craft an image by the way their people dress. If you've ever been at like a Microsoft presentation, you'll rarely see their speakers in shirt and ties. They dress very casually. If you see somebody from Google make a presentation, same kind of deal. But I guarantee you, when they're going to speak in front of their investors and the really important things, even the most casual of people will clean up their act quite a bit. So it doesn't have to be shirt and tie. I think you should be presentable. I think, you know, the important thing is to be courteous to your audience but also to have some fun. I mean, this is a chance. This is like a chance for you to show us, you know, how much you know, how good you are. Personally, I'm not that big on dress, though. I think for the final semester presentation, since we bring in visitors, we want people to dress a little more formally. But for this one, it's up to you. I mean, if you want to try to make a what do they call it, a philosophical statement or something, but, you know, that's fine. I don't really care too much, but I do care about the content of your presentation.
So are we actually going to do one person or?
Yes, you're going to do one person. Right.
What if there's like not so good public speakers? Yeah.
That's what I enjoy about the one person rule.
But that's the thing, is it's easier to make a four person thing because then you can sort of hide.
But everyone has to learn how to present.
Not hide. Well, no.
And I got to tell you, I've had some students in that situation. They were really bad, had fear of public speaking, and we actually worked them through it.
And they're no longer afraid?
They're no longer afraid. I have a student. I'd love to introduce you to him sometime. We thought he was going to crack up when he gave his presentation. And he is now at his church. He's like the big speaker, and he's in all sorts of community activities and everything. And I would have never believed it. All because of his senior design presentation. Literally. It was the first time he had to really get out in front of people and push far beyond his comfort zone. Now, you as a team have a responsibility to coach your person, your designated speaker, to make them successful. So you better practice the presentation before it's given, which means your slides have to be done far enough in advance that there's time to practice. And then one other thing, the presentations will be done online. So, I mean, I will ask you, we will click your website and pull your presentation. So the presentation has to be on your website at the time it's given. Don't bring thumb drives or don't, you know, that kind of thing. It's got to be on your website at the time it's given.
Where are presentations?
We're still working out the details. Tuesday will be in here. Wednesday will be in the Dean's Seminar Room. And Thursday is probably going to be in the tech center. Okay. Have a good spring break. Don't forget completely about senior design during spring break.